Okay, so we're doing is the nasi. Right, saying is that even according to the Gemara as a havmin, or it starts off by saying that even the person who holds that a tama chacham can be mochel on his kavod, the kavod is nitan to him. Okay, it's for him as a person, as toras delay. Still, a nasi cannot be mochel on his kavod. Okay, a nasi cannot be mochel on his kavod. That's what Gemara said, right? The Gemara said, but let's try to do it from a story. From a story of Gamliel. Okay, Rav Gamliel. Where he was serving these people. He was serving Sir Eliezer, and he didn't take it. He served Yeshua and he took it. Sir Eliezer said, what do you mean? How could you do this? Right, how could you, what's his name, he's going to serve you? You're going to have Gamliel serve you? He says, what do you mean? He says, I'm going to be going to serve them. Serve the Malachim, the Arabs. And you see Hashem himself, and then the guy beside you, even Hashem, you see service people. So why are you getting so upset that Gamliel is serving us? So Gamliel could serve us, right? So Gamliel also could serve us. So even a nasi must be kavim al chanes kavod. So it says no, you're right. Of course, they go to retract. It says a nasi can also be al chanes kavod, but it's a melech cannot. Melech cannot. Somehow he gets out of the problem of Avinu and Hashem and all that. Okay? So the question is, and before we get to the Melech part, but why would I think, what's the logic to differentiate and say that a Nasi is going to be any different than a Talmud Chacham? You say a Talmud Chacham can be Mochel, but a Rebbe cannot. And then what's the rejection? Okay. So our scroll says that a Nasi was a spiritual leader. In the second Beis HaMikdash, the term Nasi was automatically conferred upon the head of the Sanhedrin. Pretty well? Okay, so that's what Nasi is. Okay.
How's God approved for a Nasi?
You're right, that's the question. How is Avram and God approved for a Nasi? Right, what's the proof? What's the question on that? I mean, they're different things. I think the question is that, I mean, I think the way you have to approach it is that it's saying is that even if you'd say Talmud Chacham could be Mochel on his Kavod, still a Nasi cannot. So you're going to have to understand what is a Nasi have that Talmud Chacham, that the Rebbe doesn't have, such that he can't be Mochel on his Kavod. Like, what's the idea? Well, here's another interesting question is that, it's asking a question. Is you can't say that a nasi can't be mochel on his kavod, because you see from Avram Avinu and from Kadosh Baruch Hu, right? Yeah, but now let's say, remember by Talmud Chacham there was machlokas, one sheet held he could be, one sheet held he can't be mochel. Mm-hmm. So let's say you say Talmud Chacham can't be mochel on his kavod, right?
Can't.
Cannot.
Okay.
So then what about a nasi?
He also cannot.
All right. What about Avram Avinu? What about Hashem? Right, like, why isn't Avraham Avinu and Hashem a question on Talmud Chacham itself? You know what I mean? It seems like it's not, though. I mean, it seems like this is. So, I mean, this is a question. I mean, like, why is this only a question according to the side who's saying that if you say Talmud Chacham can be Machal on his kavod, then they say, but unless he can't. So they say, what about these things? Yeah, but you see, even someone held Talmud Chacham, Talmud Chacham could be Malchal. And basically, that was a position. It doesn't seem like that position was rejected. And it made sense over there. I think it made sense over there. Because if you say that it's... Here's my point, actually. It's because if you say that it's covered of the Torah through him, so then I understand why he cannot be Malchal. Because it's not really for him. So yeah, of course, Avraham Avinu could be Malchal, Hashem could be Malchal. Like the Gemara said, Torah delay, it's his world, so he can be Malchal. But if you say by Nasi, the reason that by Talmud Chacham, if it's covered for the Torah through him, then that's very good why he can't be Malchal. Right? Oh, but if that's what you're saying, that a Nasi, that everyone holds by Nasi, it works that way. So then what's the Kasha then? Then why could he be Malchal? At the end of the day, why could he be Malchal? Like, why does the Gemara back off? I'm saying from Avraham Avinu and from Hashem. Like, what's the back and forth here on this question? Okay. Okay, I'm gonna try something out. See how it goes. So the thing is, I guess, is that by Rebbe, the question was: is it covered for him, or is it covered Torah just through him, or covered for him? So it's covered a Torah through him. So then of course he can't be machal. And if that's what Nasi is also, of course he can't be machal. There's no room to argue on that because it doesn't do with him. You know, I'm mechaved him. I'm mechaved the Torah, and he's just a vehicle. So then that's the shita holds that Rebbe Shmuel Kvod ain't called the machal. Okay, and that shita would hold. There's no questions to ask from that. That's just straight. Okay, but now we're getting the shita holds Rebbe Shmuel Kvod Kvod the machal, which means that by a Rebbe. He's the kavod is because Torah's delay, so it means it's kavod for him. Kavod for him because of who he is. Okay, fine. Now, what's the difference? Maybe I'll start with the smoother part of the story. Let's say, what's the difference between Rebbe and a Nasi? So it seems that the difference between Rebbe and a Nasi is, see, a Nasi is like a grand Rebbe. What do I mean a grand Rebbe? You notice, he is like the Rebbe of Klal Yisrael. He's like the objective Rebbe. What does it mean? It means a Rebbe, like let's say my Rebbe. So, for me, he's my Rebbe. For someone else, he's just a regular Talmud Chacham. You know what I mean? Notice, the nature of the Shem Rebbe is a subjective Shem. Right? But a Nasi is like Mr. Rebbe. Like he's a Rebbe for everyone. But everyone considers him their rabbi because he is the Rav of Klal Yisrael. I mean, like he was the head of the spiritual leader of Klal Yisrael. Okay. So now the thing is like this: is that let's say you say kavod is for the rabbi. Okay, kavod is for the rabbi. Now the question is how are you mechabed the rabbi? So the way the Gemara said it, if you hold that as kavod for the rabbi, it meant that you satisfy his will. But that's what kavod of the rabbi was. You satisfy his will. What did it mean to mechabed him? Kavod, since it's towards the delay, it's kavod for him. What does it mean kavod for him? Do what he wants. Right? If he says mochel. It's not, there's no kavod for him. It's saying since it was for him, it's measured by his will and his desires. Okay? Fine. That was the position until now, right? But now, you could say that even if it's covered for him, in other words, I'm being mechabed him, but how am I mechabed him? You could say the Torah, it's possible that the Torah would set up an objective system of being mechabed him. Okay? In other words, how do you mechabed him? There's a laundry list of things. When he walks into the room, you stand up. When he needs a drink, you get him a drink. When he needs to get dressed, when he's walking, you give him a hand. When, you know, whatever it is. It could be that the Torah could have set up kavod for him. And we mentioned this clearly before. Was, even though it's for him, the Torah could set up kavod for him in one of two ways. Either you do what he wants, you subordinate yourself to his desires, or it could have set up an objective system of kavod. Okay? Your actions of respect. Their actions of respect. It doesn't mean for his will. There's because of an objective system. Okay? And kavod would be objectified. And if he said, I don't care, it doesn't matter if he says, I don't care. Because the definition of the mitzvah of kavod was objectified. Okay, you with me? So those are two possible ways Torah could have set up the halacha of kavod for a rabbi. Even if it's kavod for him. Could have said, follow his will, whatever he wants, or could have said, an objective system of kavod. Set up objective categories, I guess, based upon what normal people want, whatever, but it's an objectified system. Now, the thing is that, but now, the guy who holds Rabbi Shmuel Kvod Kvod the Machal, that he could be Machal, holds that it shows his will. Right? But what the Gemara is saying here is maybe I'll say that's only because the nature of Rebbe, of a regular Rebbe, is like a personal relationship. It's a relationship between two people. He's my Rebbe. Right? In other words, we have a personal type of relationship. And therefore, the din kavod was set up like on a personal level. It was satisfy his will. In other words, he benefited you, so you have to subordinate yourself to his will. It's like a personal kind of a relationship. And it involves the person of the rabbi because the nature of the relationship and the nature of his shame is a personal type of a relationship. He was your rabbi, and therefore you have to respect his wishes. That's what the kavod is. The kavod is left in the person of the Rebbe, because the nature of the relationship is a personal one. Okay, so it could be that's why the Torah is saying is that's why the Pesach knows that Rebbe can be Malchus Kavod. But when it comes to a Nasi whose Shem Rebbe is objective, why is a Nasi my Rebbe? Not because we have a personal Kesher. We don't have a personal Kesher. Because he's just the Rebbe. He's Rebbe of Klal Yisrael. So then, I'll say that the Kavod wasn't set up in terms of the person of the Rebbe and what he wants and his desires, and you know. But then it was given a more an objective form. It was given an objective form. What does it mean to be mechabe the objective Rebbe? The kavod was is to stand to do certain objective activities, and it's not tallying as well. I mean, that's what Rashi's position was. Is that when the reason why a Rebbe, a normal Rebbe, is left in his will, left in whatever he wants, is because the nature of the relationship of Rebbe Talmud is a subjective personal relationship. So therefore the Chiyuvei Kavod were set up on a subjective level in terms of his will. What does he want? Because there's a personal relationship and you're mechaved him by doing what he wants. But when the nature of the Rebbe is not a subjective relationship, I don't relate to the Nasi as a person and his wants and his desires, but I'm relating to him as an objective Rebbe. He is the Rebbe. He's my Rebbe. He's the Rebbe of Klal Yisrael. So then, in that framework, the Torah was set up kavod on an objective playing field. It was set up kavod objectively. How do you mechaved him? Well, you do actions which are objectively actions of kavod, and it's not tulling his will. It didn't set it up by follow his will. So that's what I'm saying. So then he won't be able to be mechaved. But it still is kavod for him. It's kavod for him. It's just being objectified. It doesn't mean it's kavod of the Torah. No. It's kavod for him, because he's just another Rebbe, and Rebbe's always kavod for him. But Rebbe, kavod for Rebbe, could be set up by his will, whatever he as a person wants. That's the way it's set up by a Rebbe who is a personal relationship. But when it's the objective Rebbe, it was set it up based upon objective standards for kavod. So therefore he won't be able to be malchal. That was the Havmina. This is what I mean of what Ravashi was saying. I know. So then the Gemara asks from Avraham Avinu. Let's start with Avraham Avinu. Because Avraham Avinu, you see, Avraham Avinu was certainly the Rabbi of Klal Yisrael. He was the leader of whatever Klal Yisrael was, of his movement. He was the leader. Right? He wasn't just a personal, he was a figurehead. He was basically Am Yisrael. Right? A Nefesh Rasu B'charen. So he had a following, he had a leadership. And as such, but you see that even by the leader, even by the guy, because the idea is like when you get to the idea which Rashi is saying is that when you have a guy who is objectively a Rebbe, who's objectively a leader, then the kavod is like it's objectified and it's not totally in his will. He can't be mochel. It doesn't lend itself to him being mochel. It's just an objective thing. You have to stand up for him. He's objectively a Rebbe and you have to stand up. He doesn't want it. It's objectified. It was set up as an objective way. But it's saying is you see that even by someone as great, the great leader Avraham Avinu, there was no halacha like objectively he must be mechubad. See, saying it's objectified is in a sense it's like making it stronger. Because saying it's in his will, it's saying is that it's a looser, because it means is that there's nothing objective that has to take place. It's just do what he wants. Telling his will. But if you say it's objectified, it's like the Rebbe of Klal Yisrael has to be an objectified kavod. It's like when it's setting it up, it's giving it an objective form. And saying is that you see that even people greater than Rabbi Gamliel, even Avraham Avinu and even Akash Baruch Hu, there's no halacha that objectively they have to be mechubad. And then we talked about this before, is that back in the previous Gemara, is that you see that kavod is always, intrinsically, is always tied into a person as well. That if you mechabit an individual, kavod for an individual means their will. Satisfying their will. As you'll say, how could Avraham Avinu be serving? Because that's what he wanted. And if that's what he wanted, then he could be serving. Because it's true, if they asked him to serve, then you know that would be a different thing. But Avraham Avinu wanted to, and that's his will. So he's mochel. So in other words, the nature of kavod, what they're showing from these cases, you see even HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a kavod HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he's serving mankind. He's the Melech Malchei Melachim. But apparently it's true. If man would say to God, you serve me, that wouldn't be kavod. But if HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides that it's his will, that this is what he should do, so then that's not again in the kavod HaShem. So the thing is that that is showing from those cases is that the idea of kavod, of a gadol, even of the greatest gadol, is always tied in with their will. With their will. And therefore, if you're telling me that there's an institution of kavod of a nasi, kavod of a nasi, so then kavod of a nasi is going to have to be his will. It doesn't, it's, kavod is not objectified. Objective, because there's no idea, you see there's no idea in the Torah of like objectified kavod. Kavod for a person or for a being is always linked in, even as great as the being is always linked in with that, the will of that being. And there's no like objective idea. Kavod is that you do X, Y, Z. Kavod doesn't go that way. Kavod is that tied in with the freedom, the will of the individual to whom the kavod is being given. So that's what I'm saying. It can't be. Now that's not a kasha on the guy who held that a nasi, that a rebbe can't be machal on this kavod, or a nasi can't be machal because he holds that it's not covered for the rebbe. And then it's covered a Torah. So then, of course, you can't be machal because it's not covered for him. But this is all in the position that's saying a rebbe can be machal this kavod, which means the kavod is for the rebbe. So the thing is, if the kavod is for the rebbe, then kavod for an individual is always going to be their will, whatever they want. And you see, even the greatest people is always covered for their will. There's no halacha of objectified covered for that person. So therefore, it's saying is that even if you hold that a rabbi can be machal, then even an asa can be machal. Anyone can be machal. To cover for them, it's always going to be lend itself to mechila. Except for a king, we'll get them. Right. Because the question is like, this is like, the hamas on the Gemara, is that when you say that a rabbi can be machal on his kavod, right, that a rabbi has the right to be machal on his kavod, and as you're mechabed him, and therefore it's totally his will. Why is that? Is that because objectively, whenever you have kavod of an individual, it means satisfy their will, and it's mean nasi also? Or you say, no, really, kavod in general would be objective. Kavod would be objective. But since the nature of the relationship of Rebbe Talmud is a personal relationship, so therefore it was set up as follow his will. Was you could argue the reason why he's saying Rebbe is mochal, could be mochal, and it was set totally in his will, is because that is the nature of the relationship. That is the nature of the Rebbe Talmud. So it's a personal thing. You relate to him as an individual, so you follow his will. But once you're dealing with someone who's objectively great, so then objective greatness demands objective kavod. And it's not, he can't say that whatever he wants, because it's objective greatness. He has objective greatness, and you have to demonstrate his kavod in an objective way. But it's saying is, you see that that's not so. You see that even objective greatness, like Amr, even like Kadosh Baruch Hu, doesn't demand objective kavod. The kavod is tied in with the will of Avraham, or the will of Kadosh Baruch Hu. So it's saying, so you can't say that kavod really is objective. This is the reason why Rabbi is subjective. It's not because of the personal nature of his status, but it's because objectively that's the way kavod goes. Kavod to an individual is always tied in with their will. There's no such thing as objective kavod.
Exactly.
How many was the shita held to Rabbi Kimochal's kavod is because mechila is when the nature of the kavod stems from a personal relationship, so then the kavod is given to him in a personal manner, and therefore lends itself to his personal will. But whenever the nature of the kavod comes from his objective shame, which objective shame Rabbi, like by Nasi or by Avraham, by Kadosh Baruch Hu, you'd have to say, then the kavod is always going to be objective and doesn't lend itself to mechila. It's saying, you see, it's not so from Avraham or Kadosh Baruch Hu. Rather, it must be that kavod as a category is always tied in with the individual and his will. And that's why it could always be mocha. So even a Nasi will be able to be mocha. Okay, so then the Gemara goes like this. It says, no. So Rasi can't be saying that. It's funny, by the way, it sounds like it's similar to the Gemara earlier when I tried to prove from Hashem. Yeah, from Hashem al Chnei Yama. It's kind of similar to that proof. That the idea is that once, that's what he's shown before. I mean, it's kind of funny how it sounds almost repeating that point. Is that when you have kavod, even by kavod for a person is always tied into their will. Like you see from Hashem. It's funny, there I quote a different pasuk from Hashem al Chnei Yama. Here it shows, because Hashem is giving the rain and this and that, you know. It's funny. Okay, but let's. Oh, by the way, as an aside, you see from here, this is the point that Marshall wanted to bring, because you see from here that from this Gemara, you see by Avraham Avinu, he's trying to show that you see Avraham Avinu could be Malach on his cover, right? Because you see Avraham Avinu is on his cover, because you see he served the Malachim, right? Yeah, but why don't you say the Malachim didn't do anything wrong? Whereas the Malachim didn't know, Or they did know, actually.
I mean,
that's because what Hashem wants to say is, you see, that's what Avraham did. Avraham served them. It's not like they did anything wrong. The question of whether the Rebbe could mach on this kavod is not a question of what the Rebbe could do. It's a question of what the Talmud could do. Right? So then how are you proving from what Avraham Avinu did? Yeah, that's what Avraham Avinu did. But what about, shouldn't you have to prove something from how a Talmud is allowed to act? I mean, because the Rebbe, you were saying, could always be mach on this kavod because he's the Rebbe. He can do whatever he wants.
Yet, right. He was mach on his kavod.
Right. So the Marsha wants to say, from here, is that you see when you say that a Rebbe can't be, if you would say the Rebbe can't be mach on his kavod, it means even for him, even he can't do things which are mach on his kavod. And as he shows me, so you see, because what we're saying is that Avram Avinu, if he really couldn't be mach on his kavod, unless he couldn't be mach on his kavod, then how would Avram Avinu be able to do that? He wouldn't be allowed to. So you see that the position holds the Rebbe can't be mach on his kavod really maintains that the Rebbe himself can't do it. It's Nisra and the Rebbe. But therefore he has a question from the earlier Gemara, which said that Rava was serving them at the wedding. And he wanted to prove from the fact that he got angry at them, that he, for not standing, he wanted to prove that the Rebbe can't be mochel on his kavod. Oh, but if the Rebbe can't be mochel on his kavod, then how would Rava serve them in the first place? It should have been Asar. Right? So it must be that he could be mochel on his kavod. So that was the kasha the Rasha was asking him. Is that they see from Avraham, because we answered that no, that even if you say Rebbe came on his kavod, the halacha of kavod of the Rav is not a halacha on the Rebbe. It's a halacha on the Talmidim. So the Rebbe can do whatever he wants. The question is, what about the Talmidim? But the Mashal back there said, oh, you see from Avraham Avinu that that's halacha is even for, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, you could argue maybe the Malachim, that had the Malachim take it.
No.
Yeah, but it was halacha, you can't take it. Where do you see halacha, you can't take it? It's one thing if they didn't stand for him or something.
Well, no, you actually see that.
But I mean, you could argue, maybe that's his point. Maybe his point is that they shouldn't have taken it. No, but if that's the case, then in the story there, they shouldn't have taken it either.
Gamliel.
Right. I mean, it's a good question. I mean, the Masha, I mean, you have to look into it. It's a good pickup there. That's one of his riots from that case. Okay, but let's leave that. Okay, so the Gemara says, so Amar Bashi, Afilu Madam Anasi Shemachal Kvoda, Kvoda Machal, Melech Shemachal Kvoda, Ein Kvoda Machal. A king cannot be Machal on his kavod. That cannot happen. Yeah, Anasi can. But a king, even if you say a Rebbe can be Machal on his kavod, a king, Rebbe can, Anasi can, a father can, everyone can. But not, and that's how we hold, right? We hold they all can. Except for Ahidah, right? But not a king. Not a king. So it says, why? Shenamar. Som tasim alacha melech. Som tasim. You should place upon you a king. Shetehe e maso alacha. That his fear should be upon you. Okay? That his fear, his ema, his fear should be upon you. So what does that mean? His fear should be upon you. Saying that's why you can't be malachah. So what? But you just went through this whole thing showing why Hashem was mochel and Nasi was mochel and Avram was mochel and Nasi can be mochel. So what's this idea that a king cannot be mochel no matter what? Right. So I think this is like a famous problem, like maybe it's a famous thought problem, or it's something like. This, I don't know if I've ever heard it before, but I think the standard answer, you know, so there's an issue which we have to get into, but the standard idea, I think it makes sense, is that, so I think what you're saying, Michael, is that by a king, it's not kavod because, like, he deserves the kavod, but it means that a king, what makes a king is shetei masa olecha. Like, a king is, like, it's not just a job, but a king is, like, the feared leader. It's part of a king, is, like, his power, the might, the fear, which the king, because the king is basically, he keeps the whole kingdom in line. The kingdom works because there is a guy, there's a king. And there's a dread of the king. You don't mess around in the kingdom because of the king. That's how a kingdom stays in check. So that's why a king could kill people, a king could, I mean, he could have, like, martial law. He could, a lot of other levels a king could have. King has, like, powers, which normal things don't have. So the king is shetei maso lecha means the definition of a king is he's the feared ruler. So that's why halachas, he can't use the king's staff. Once a king, I think he can't marry a king's ex-wife or something. Like, there's all kinds of halachas about a king. A king has to be like a fear of the king. So a king can't say, don't stand up for me. Because then he'd cease being a king. Part of the definition of a king is that he has that yira, that aim. So it's not like you're honoring him because he deserves it. So if you're honoring him because he deserves it, well, I'll be so I don't want, I don't care, don't worry about it. No, but it's part of the identity of a king. Part of the very status of being a king is shetahei masala. That is, that you have a fear. See, a nasi, even if you don't honor a nasi, nasi is a nasi, he's a leader. So what's the difference if the kavod is like, this is what I said, is that kavod is like an accidental to a nasi. A nasi is a nasi. His definition of a nasi means he's a nasi. And then, because he's a nasi, you have to give him kavod. It's like a result of him being a nasi. So you could say, you know what, you can be a mafal. Like, I'll be a mafal's kavod. But a king, the kavod is part of the very identity of a king. What makes him a king is that he is mechubad, that he is ema, that people fear him. That is his identity of a king. So if he be mechul his kavod, he would cease being a king. He'd cease being the identity of a king. His identity stems from the nature of his position vis-a-vis the people. So therefore, it doesn't lend itself to him being mechul. You with me? The problem is, this is what bothers. That's, I think, the idea. It makes sense. But the problem is, what's the limud? The limud bothered me. The limud is this: Som tasim alecha melech, shetehei maso alecha. Yeah, how does som tasim have anything to do with shetehei maso alecha? But doesn't it say som tasim doesn't mean ema? I mean, is it from the play on words? Tasim sounds like ema or something like that. Like, what's the limud? I mean, where's the limud there? So Rashi and Ksubos says what the limud is. So here's what it says there. Rashi over there, Rashi in Yeksubos Yizayin and Aleph says, "Sontas Melech Yisrael Hozeru Sheyasimu Aleihem Simos Harbe." Som Tasim is like a double lashon. Som Tasim, you shall place, you shall place. So it says Yisrael is warned that they should place upon themselves many placings. Kilomar, what does that mean? Shetei Maso Aleichem. Namely, that their ema, their fear, should be upon him. Hilkach in kvod ha-machal. Therefore, his kavod is in machal. Shelafikach riba ha-kasav simos harbe. Because that's why the Torah included many placings. Anyone follow that?
Rashi.
It must have Rashi, yeah.
Yeah. Many.
It doesn't follow. Simos harbe, many places. Some doesn't. Many placings. What does it mean that you should place him many times? Many placings? That he should be his name, I should be on you. Because what does that mean? It doesn't. I don't understand. Like, just plain English. What's he saying? It doesn't add up. I mean, doesn't follow.
Okay.
So basically, the next. I mean, we'll try. I think we'll take this up. Hopefully, we'll take this up tomorrow. But the next thing I want to do after this, and I'll just start you off with it, is the question of whether a person has to honor their father or mother if he's a Rasha. Okay. The person's a Rasha. This is like you asked me a question about this. You had a friend there, right? Yeah, if they're the Rasha. It's a machlok. That's like an issue. So the Rambam is in Mamre Vav Yer Aleph. It says, Hamamzer chay v'kavod aviv umorao. Okay, so Hamamzer is someone who came from parents who's arayos. So Misr, some Isser, sexual Isser, which is a kares, a serious Isser. So I guess you could argue that the father's a Rasha. Okay, you could argue that. So the maid said, "Avishu potter al makasov al kelasav achi asa tshuva." It says, "But there's four isurim, four halachos by kibud av aim, by parents. There's two asays, which is kavod and yira, right, honor and fear, and then there's two lulos asays. You can't hit them and you can't curse them. Okay, so it says when it comes to cursing and hitting." You're not chayev for hitting and cursing unless they do tshuva. So if your father's a rasha and he doesn't do tshuva, so then you're not chayev if you curse him or hit him. But shafilu hayaviv rasha ubal averos mechabdo misyar menu. But when it comes to kavod and yira, even if he's a rasha and a bal averos, he still do kavod and yira. Okay, so kavod and yira applies whether he's a rasha or tzaddik. It doesn't make any difference. Okay.
The hitting him and the cursing him, like.
Yeah, I think the Torah, I believe, argues. The Torah holds, I mean, you can look at it, but you can check it out. I think the Torah holds that if your father's a Rasha, basically, It's from a Gemara. It's Osei Maisa Amcha. The Gemara says is that because Nasi ba Amcha lo Sa'ar. I mean, we'll get into it maybe by the father, but it basically says that by a Nasi, you're not allowed to curse a Nasi who's in your the Amcha, in your nation. It says in your nation means that he's doing the actions of your nation. But if he's not doing the actions of your nation, in other words, he's a Rasha, he's acting like a Rasha, then you don't have to honor a Nasi. Or you get, there's no issur of cursing a Nasi. So basically, there's a Gemara which wants to seemingly implies that by a father also the same thing applies. And therefore, the Torah holds that there's no halacha of kavod by a father as a rasha. So, for starters, I'd like to take that machlokas. What's that question?
Is that a rabbit there? Did he say there's,
no, the rabbit. You have to look. This. They quote it on the side. They quote it on the bottom. But then you have the halacha of in Heyud Beis is where he talks about klala. Because the perek Hey is anyway gets into klala and he says Misha Yo'avivimo Rishayim Gemurim Ve'Ovrei Averos Afilu Nigmar Dinam Lahariga. So if you have parents who are mamish, they're total rishon. Even if they have the bezdin already condemned them to death, and they're going out, they're carrying them out to the place where you're going to stone them. Let's say, asur lo lahakosam lekala. It's asur to hit them and to curse them. V'im kilel ochavol ba'em potter. But if you do it, you don't get you're not chayiv misa. You're not chayiv. Right, it's asur. It's weird. And what kind of thing is that? I mean, it's asur as mutter. Why is it? Either it's this or it's not this. There's a drabanan. Is it the im asu tshuva? And if they do tshuva, hari is a chayev. The neherag alayhem. Apishen yotzul misa. But if they actually do tshuva, so then you're chayev. Even though they're on their way out to being killed, because even if they do tshuva, Besdin's not going to save them. Because Besdin, I mean, Hashem will know them, but I mean, you can't get off the hook from Mises Besdin because you do tshuva. But you do, you are going to kill the guy. For a hitting or for a cursing, if his father, as they're carrying him out to death, even though he's on his deathbed, whatever, still, if he does tshuva, then you are chayv misa. No, I don't think it's going to do anything. Okay. Then he says, "Bamed bar murim." The Rambam says, "Bibna." That's by the son. Aval achar shabav he kolu kolu, because it's a normal isser to hit someone or to curse someone. Every Jew, not only the father. Father's like a super, you know, but a regular person who hits him or curses him, achar shenigmar dino, after he had gmar din. Right after they're going to kill him. Afo pisha asa tshuva, even though he did tshuva, hari zeh pater. Hova hova lechel misa. Then he's pater. Since he's on his way out to death, so then a regular isser, the regular isser also, if he's a rasha, doesn't apply, I guess, or if he's on his way out. But then if he's on his way out to death, you're pater even if he did tshuva. But by a father, if he's on his way out, if he's still a rasha, then you're not chayef. It's still asr, but you're not chayef. But when if he's actually the tshuva, then you're chayev. 100%. Question: it's like sounds. The whole thing sounds like a lot of these arbitrary. I mean, you could ask questions, but basically, there's at some point I'd like to explain these things. But for starters, I think the simplest part place to start is the machlokes Torah and the Rambam is just straight. Is there a halacha of kibud av v'aim? For it's funny, the Rambam seems to hold. Is there this halacha of klala? I mean, sort of is, sort of isn't. If he's a rasha, it's aser, but you know, there's no onesh. What kind of thing is that? But by kavod it's 100%. What I'm saying by kavod it's 100% kavod. Kavod in your reply 100% even if he's a Russian Malavir.